if you learn to master wealth and it becomes your servant, you can send that wealth all over the world and it can work in the kingdom of God. It's just like you preaching there. For how can one preach unless he be sent? You see, what God wants to do is when he first brings you into the kingdom, we got me on our mind. Me, myself, and I. And we got ourselves on our mind and we so we can get to establish our kingdom on the earth. But as we walk with God more and more and the Holy Spirit begins His purging process and causes you to fall head over heels in love with Jesus, He begins turning that faith and that heart and that pursuance upon the world. And then you establish an operation of finance to establish His covenant. My friend, there's no limit to what He'll give to a man or a woman of that nature. And speaking of that, I was in Dallas, Texas, watching television. And for about 3 years, the Lord had been speaking tremendously with me about the transference of wealth, the magnitude of money that's coming into the body of Christ. He would speak to me things of the qualifications of wealth. He would tell me the kind of people that He was going to use and qualify for this end-time revival when He begins unloading the wealth of the nations under the body of Christ. He's not going to take new baby believers and stick millions of dollars in their hands and put them on the front lines. That's not going to happen. You have to be qualified to steward God's wealth because wealth can destroy you. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. And if He's going to place you next to that root for the rest of your life and ask you to operate, my friend, you're going to have to be dead to that root. He is going to have to separate you from wealth and its effects upon you. He's going to have to separate your soul and everything that's within you from that wealth. And when He causes that purging process and that separation to come, He is qualifying you to receive unlimited amounts of resources for establishing His covenant in the earth. And these are some of the things that we get into on Saturday night. And tonight I'm going to show you the spiritual dimension of financial monetary control of the nations. Why the enemies control it. Why the body of Christ does not have the money. You might think we're blessed, my friend. We don't have the money. I was sitting in my apartment in Dallas, Texas. And there was a preacher on television. And he was a missionary. And like most of your missionaries do, they go to the mission field. They see the incredible needs of the mission field. They see the incredible needs of the world. You know, things that we take for granted. There's no, you know, most parts of the world, there's no running water. There's no food. There's no hot water. If you have a bed to sleep on, you're a pretty blessed person. If you have a bicycle, it's like a Mercedes in most parts of the country. We're highly separated. The poorest people here are some of the richest in other countries, see. And so what happened was, I was sitting there and these missionaries get over there and they see that incredible need and they come back to America and the first thing they do is they start compelling the body of Christ to give because they see that need and the compassion of God's flowing out of them. And they're saying, if you'll give to this, and they show the missionaries and it was the most incredible thing to me. The president of Nicaragua, just pray in the Holy Ghost if you don't get it. The president opened the entire school system to this guy and said, you can come with your team of ministers and preach the gospel 24 hours a day if you want to. I'll shut the school down. Any school you go to, I'll shut it down and I will have all those kids come to your meetings. And he says, I've got the money right now to support two teams. I've got 10 teams ready to go. It costs $1,500 a month to run a team. He goes, I got 10 of them waiting on go. And they were compelling across national TV in Dallas just for an extra $1,500. And I'm thinking, my God, man. And God broke my heart. He said, will you give? I said, yeah, Lord, I will. He says, I want you to give everything you got. And I said, all right, I'll do it. And I was $3,000 in the hole. And I did it, and He wiped that $3,000 out real quick. But that's not the point I'm getting to tonight. It broke my heart. And I started crying and crying and crying. And God came to me and He said, son, my house is lying waste. He goes, you in America, you don't see it because you're not exposed. American churches represent 6% of the world's population. And 80% of all gospel income stays within this 6%. 20% is dispersed around the world. And when that 20%, after it gets divided, it becomes socialistic gospel. And very few on the evangelism field get the wealth. And He started talking to me things about this. And He said, son, I'm going to give you the power to get wealth. He goes, I just don't want you going to my people. He goes, there's 20 ministries to every wallet. If you know what I mean by that you can instantaneously think of 20 ministries you can give to that are compelling you day and night. And if the body of Christ had it, they would give it. They don't have it. And the reason they do not have it is because we don't control the wealth of the world system. And the Lord started showing me, He says, I'm going to show you who controls it, and I'm going to show you how it's controlled in the Spirit. I'm going to show you who controls it in the natural, and I'm going to show you how you're going to get it back. And we're talking international wealth. And this is when He began to reveal what I'm going to reveal to you tonight. I hope I can get it all in tonight. If not, I'm going to finish it tomorrow because it's quite intense. Isaiah 23. Turn your Bible, please. Hallelujah. Glory. Isaiah 23:3. What do you say, George, when you have it? Say, I. Get it? Got it. You're supposed to say got it when you got it. Isaiah 23:3. Get it?
Got it.
Okay. We'll start with verse 1. I'm going to read out of the Living Bible. I've got my four translations here. Just hang on. This is God's message to Tyre. Weep, O ships of Tyre, returning home from the distant lands. Weep for your harbor, for it is gone. The rumors that you heard in Cyprus are all true. Deathly silence is everywhere. Stillness reigns where once your hustling port was full of ships from Sidon, bringing merchandise from across the ocean, from Egypt and along the Nile. You were the merchandising mart of the world. You better get that in your heart. The King James says it the same way. She called it, she is a mart of nations. The New International Bible says she's a marketplace of the nations. The Revised Standard Bible says she's a merchant of the nations. Tyre, in its definition, is a conglomeration of all nations for trade, commerce, finance, marketing, merchandising, and trafficking. She is the financial capital of the world. This is Tyre. All trade, all countries converged into Tyre to trade, to ply their trade and their trafficking. She was a conglomeration of financial, monetary distribution of wealth. I don't want you to turn there. Just in Ezekiel 27:3, the Living Bible says she was a merchant center of the world. The King James of Ezekiel 27:3 says she is a merchant of the people. You're getting the picture. Isaiah 23:8, if you'll drop down in the Living Bible, says she's an empire builder and a top trader of the world. This is Tyre. This might be an introduction to you, but we're going to get into some things that are really heavy. Now I want you to turn to Ezekiel chapter 26. I'm going to show you how Tyre was established, where she got her wealth from, and a few other things. Just hang on, because we're going to get into some heavy stuff here. Trust me. Ezekiel 26:2-3. Son of man, this is out of the New International, because Tyre has said of Jerusalem, ah, the gate to the nations is broken down, and its doors have swung open unto me. Now that she lies in ruins, I will prosper. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I am against you, O Tyre, and I will bring many nations against you like the sea casting up its waves. And what the Bible is saying here is speaking of when Jerusalem's fall, during the time between Solomon's reign and the destruction of Jerusalem of Nebuchadnezzar, that wealth began shifting, and I don't want to get ahead of myself. That wealth at Solomon's day began shifting over, and she saw that Jerusalem's wealth was, the walls and the commerce of Jerusalem were being broken down, and all of that wealth and all of that trade and all that trafficking beginning flow towards Tyre. It became the monetary source of the nations, if you will, at that point. I don't want to get out ahead of myself. Now, the Bible here was talking about the Lord was bringing destruction upon this city that had the conglomeration of wealth. The Lord, because she was boasting that Jerusalem was under the judgment of God because of the apostasy of the kings, that she was boasting and say, aha, the gates, the commerce of Jerusalem has turned unto me. And now I shall be expanded. And the Lord said, because of your pride, I'll bring you down. Later on in this chapter, the same chapter, Ezekiel chapter 26 and verse 7 through 14. I'm going to read this to you. Just listen to me. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. From the north I'm going to bring against Tyre, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, king of kings, with horses and chariots, with horsemen and a great army. He will ravage your settlements on the mainland with a sword. He will set up and siege works against you, O Tyre. Build a ramp up to your walls and raise his shields against you. He will direct the blows of his battering rams against your walls and demolish your towers with his weapons. His horses will be so many that he'll cover you with the dust. Your walls will tremble at the noise of the war horses, wagons, and chariots when he enters your gates as men enter a city whose walls have been broken through. The hoofs of his horses will trample all your streets. He will kill your people with sword, and your strong pillars will he'll fall to the ground. They will plunder your wealth and loot your merchandise. They will break down your walls and demolish your fine houses and throw your stones, timber, and rubble into the sea. Now listen to this. I will put an end to your noisy songs and the music of your harps will be heard no more. Verse 14 is it. I will make you a bare rock and you will become a place to spread fish nets. You will become a fishing port of the nations. God's judgment against Tyre that he was going to call such a swift judgment by the king of Nebuchadnezzar. He says, your place will become places where fishermen spread their nets. Where you once was a great city, you will come down and be no more. You will never be rebuilt. Get that right now. You will never be rebuilt. You will never be rebuilt. I, the Lord, have spoken, declares the sovereign Lord. This is the prophecy and the judgment that God brought against Tyre. He says, when I bring Nebuchadnezzar against you, you will never be rebuilt. Now that was natural Tyre. My problem is this. Back to Isaiah 23. When the Lord began showing with this, I had a lot of questions because the Bible started to seemingly contradict itself. Because God said, I'm going to bring Nebuchadnezzar against you and you'll never be rebuilt. In fact, today, Tyre is a wasteland. They spread their nets to this day upon Tyre. But yet Isaiah 23 had something a little more to say about old Tyre. You ready for this? Probably not, but we'll give it to you anyway. Isaiah 23, verse 14. How, you ships of Tarshish, for your strength is laid waste. And it shall come to pass in that day that Tyre shall be forgotten 70 years. Now we all know, if you're Bible students, that when King Nebuchadnezzar came against the land of present-day Israel, he took Tyre and he took Jerusalem all at the same time. He took it all. It was the same time. It was the space of 70 years. His reign over Jerusalem and the people of God were 70 years, and then they were led out of Babylonian captivity back into the land of Israel and Jerusalem, you see. So what this seemingly was predicting, saying, it shall come to pass in that day, Tyre, you shall be forgotten 70 years according to the days of one king. We think right here he's talking about King Nebuchadnezzar. Now listen to this. At the end of 70 years shall Tyre sing as a harlot. Take up a harp, go about the city, thou harlot, thou wast been forgotten. You were forgotten for 70 years. Make sweet melody, sing many songs, if thou mayest be remembered. Look at verse 17, and it shall come to pass at the end of 70 years that the Lord will visit Tyre, and she shall turn again to her hire, and shall commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth. Now I got a problem with that. Because when God said that when Nebuchadnezzar came against Tyre, that she would never be revealed. And then after 70 years, it said the Lord visited her. And she committed fornication, financial intercourse with all nations on the face of the kingdom of the world. And I started saying, Lord. And then the Holy Spirit was just driving at me. You got to get this. You got to get this. I said, what are you talking about here? Because history tells us after Nebuchadnezzar laid siege against Tyre, she wasn't totally wiped out. But she never, ever regained financial, commerce, trade, or trafficking. And Alexander the Great came along after that and leveled the city. He leveled it whole. Tyre never was revived, so what is the Bible saying? Well, to get an understanding of what Tyre is, I'm going to have to take you back a little bit in her conception and how she was conceived. Because, my friend, they're not talking about natural Tyre anymore. They're talking about spiritual Tyre. They're talking about, let me give you a definition of spiritual Tyre, if I even wrote it down. The spiritual center of international monetary control. Money is trafficked in the earth. It's controlled in the spirit. Tyre represents a highly regimented spiritual government consisting of every ruling class of spirit from the principality to the spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Now that's Tyre. But before I go into that and get ahead of myself, I'm going to back you up just a little bit to Solomon. Because this is crucially important to understand why Tyre was conceived and why she still exists today and why the body of Christ has no money. Oh, we're blessed and we're a people of faith. How many people you see running around giving $1 million? Kenneth Copeland, the largest ministry in the United States, just last year got his first $1 million check. Now, can you imagine that? The world walks around giving $30, $40, $50 million away. I heard one man give $330 million to a university for the purpose of spreading evolution. Can imagine $330 million could do for the kingdom of God. What if God did it through you? Why isn't He? 1 Kings chapter 8. There might be just a few more things we need to learn about the operation of spiritual finance, distribution in the kingdom of God, qualifications. Because my friend, God's about to judge the whole system. He's going to bring the whole system to its knees. And my friend, you better be in line with God because He's about ready. He's looking right now. He said, I sought for a man among them to make up the hedge, to stand the gap. My friend, there is an incredible gap between the distribution and the establishing of God's covenant, the wealth of the nations, and the evangelization of the world. Are you aware that out of the 5 to 6 billion people that live on planet Earth, 2.7 have never even heard the name of Jesus one time? They don't even know He exists. Why? They've got a preaching force right now, 10,000 missionaries ready to go on the field that will preach the gospel 8 hours a day. That's their requirement. And they're so hungry to do it. And all they need is $30 to $50 a month. These guys win sometime an average of 2,000 to 7,000 people in a month's time to the Lord apiece. But when they go out there, there's no food out there. They got to work all month long just to eat. And when you start paying their way, you come fellowship, becoming an heir. You fellowship into the gospel. Hey, buddy, I'll send you. I can't go over there, but I can send you. Because I'm going to master wealth in a country where I'm free. And when I master it, I'm going to send it over to you and we'll preach the gospel together. 1 Kings chapter 8, 41 and 43. Solomon, in my definition, before his fall, was probably the greatest man of God that walked the face of the earth. He acquired more of God's ability than any other man on the face of the earth. After a 1,000 bullock offering of the modern day $500,000, he gave a $500,000 offering to the Lord. The glory of God filled the place, and Jesus walked up to him and said, Solomon, what can I do for you? Solomon says, I'm just a man. I don't even know how to come in or go out. I'm a young man. I don't know how to come in and go out before an omnipotent God, much less run this entire nation. Give me therefore wisdom. He had no idea what he was praying for that day, and most of us don't have any idea either. That was not the kind of wisdom that makes you smarter than everybody else, although it will make you smarter than everybody else. That wisdom was a divine relationship with a person of the Godhead, where she revealed herself as a person in Proverbs, but that's tomorrow night, the revealing of wisdom. We'll stay on course. Solomon, at that point, began to conceive the greatest nation that mankind has ever seen. He began entering into control of every market available. He took control of the spice markets. He could control the precious metal markets. He took control of the agriculture empires of the known world. He took control of the equestrian empires. He had entire cities made just to keep his horsemen. 40,000 stalls in one city. He had a cattle empire. The man was making sacrifices of 11,000 cattle a year. What kind of empire do you think it would take to sustain 11,000 cows a year? What do you think about that, Dan? Quite a large place. He had a naval fleet that would go around the world just to gather peculiar treasures. Apes, peacocks, gold and silver, everything. He had governors, kings, and princes coming to him to do his bidding. He would deliver the markets to whom he chose. He was the business magnate of that century. There was no other greater than Solomon. He controlled the entire known world's wealth. Everything was at his disposal. Things flowed to this man. Wealth of entire nations flowed to him. He had the capacity to control it all. He had a labor force of over 160,000 people. He had accountants. He hired the best in the land of everything. He had a house, a personal house of over 35,000 square feet. This man knew wealth, and he knew it in a tremendous way. He knew how to move it around the nations. He knew how to control every market available to mankind. But once more than all that, he knew how to build God's house with that wealth. In those days, God's house was made of stones. We got another house to build. That made of living stones. A holy habitation unto God. And the nations are lying waste. There's millions of them. Billions of those living stones that must come in to the house of God. Solomon knew how to take that wealth and build the house of God. 1 Kings 8, 41 and 43. Now, Solomon begins praying. He's at the throne here. He just finished completion of the temple. And he begins praying a prayer. Okay? He said, "Moreover, concerning a stranger..." That's those that are stranger to the covenants of God. He begins this great prayer at the conception of the temple. "That is not of our people Israel, but cometh out of a far country for thy name's sake." This is 1 Kings 8 and 41. "For they shall hear thy great name and thy strong hand and of thy stretched out arm when he shall come and pray towards this house. Hear thou, O God, the stranger's prayer in heaven and thy dwelling places, and do according to all that the stranger calleth thee for." Solomon was praying for the nations of the earth to come and worship God the Father. And if they did, and if they feared His name, they would come into the covenant of God, which Jesus would come and pay the price later. But they would come into the kingdom of God. You think they came? Skip on over. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 23 and 24. Okay. So, verse 23, 1 Kings chapter 10. "So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and wealth. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God hath put us in his heart." The entire known world came to Jerusalem to see what was happening. 2 Chronicles 9 and 22 and 23 gives the same account, but he said all the kings of the earth came. All those who were ruling authority came to see what was happening at the throne. After this prayer that Solomon prayed, God drew the nations to this place. The whole world was being brought into evangelism. They were being brought into the covenant of God. My friend, you must know what was taking place at this time. The whole world was being shaken to its knees. The Bible gives a very explicit account of one of those kings or one of those queens. My friend, what I'm about to show you happened to every single one of them. when they merged onto this temple. In fact, it just didn't happen to these kings and these queens. It happened to every single person that came to this temple. I'm getting somewhere with this, so follow me. Hallelujah. 1 Kings chapter 9. No, 1 Kings 10. Excuse me. Right there, we're in it. Now this is what happened. Now this is one account. The Bible gives a very explicit account. Now what you have to understand. Now when the Queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And also it keeps going on and it talks about how the Queen of Sheba brought an incredible train of camels bearing spices and precious things. And she brought what to be a modern day offering. It said it was 120 talents. Now a talent is 75 pounds of gold. Okay? She brought 120 talents times 75, which breaks down in modern day currency at $400 an ounce, $6,400 a pound, to $60 million offering in gold. Do you think that this woman knew a little bit about wealth? My friend, when you can come and drop $60 million into somebody's hand, you might know a little bit about wealth, wouldn't you say? Let me ask you a question. If you had the power to wield $60 million, do you think it would take, how much do you think it would take to impress you? It'd take quite a bit. I mean, this woman was used to the lapse of luxury, the opulence of money. She was used to it. She'd been living around. She's dropping $60 million here. I'm going to show you what happened to this woman. Verse 3. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom in the house that he built. Now she's a heathen queen, okay? Understand that. She's one of those strangers. And the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no spirit in her. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard of my own land, of thy acts, and of thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. Behold, the half was not told of me, thy wisdom and thy prosperity, thy wisdom and thy prosperity, thy wisdom and thy prosperity exceeded the fame which I heard. It was being heralded around the world. The wisdom and the prosperity of this place. And he could tell her every question in her heart. How many of you would like to have the wisdom flowing where a king could ask you any question, and by the time he left your presence, my God, I know God now. What was operating in this man? Well, she merged on this temple and she saw all this and she dropped to her knees and said, I have no more spirit left in me. I cannot contain what I'm seeing with my eyes. My friend, this was happening to every single person that came to that temple. It was when the glory of God starts pouring out, the wealth pours too. And it was astounding the nations. And they were being brought into the covenant. Now that I've said that, up to this point, wealth had never been used in such a degree to bring the nations of the earth unto God. God had always had a massive interest in transferring wealth unto his covenant people. Abraham was Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Daniel, Moses. All these men operated in tremendous amounts of wealth, of heathen wealth. But this wealth was never used in a measure that it was establishing God's covenant and bringing the nations to God. Joseph's wealth was simply to preserve seed. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, well, was to preserve the seed of God in the earth. But my friend, when David and Solomon came along, and Solomon massed together the entire international control of monetary distribution of wealth, he brought the whole nations in. And because of this, the devil started taking a massive notice that he was losing this battle. And he began working on Solomon. And he started working on him. And he started working on him and working on him and working on him. Don't think that he's not working on you. You better be wise. When you're dealing with a snake, you better be wise. Because he can slip into your life and you don't even know he's there. If you don't believe me, just look at your prayer life. When you used to say, man, God used to just be flowing to me. I don't know what happened. You met the enemy. When he stripped you out of the prayer closet, you met him face to face. He don't come around your life with horns on his head. Now, I'm not glorifying the devil. I'm just telling you that if you're going to walk this walk with God, especially in the arena of money, you're going to have to wise up. Because there's more evils that come with money than any other force on the face of the earth. So, he eventually penetrated Solomon's armor and caused him to violate one of the pillars of wisdom, which we'll get in tomorrow night. And he violated his relationship with a person of wisdom. And when he did, his kingdom started to topple. And women took him down. And because of it, God came to him and said, son, it hadn't been for your father David, I'd have stripped you off that throne. But I'm going to leave you on it, and I'm going to take it from your son. And at that point, Jerusalem's fall had was brought to conception. For the next 400 years, Jerusalem, that mighty power of international wealth, was plundered 8 massive times. International plunderings of nations started plundering that wealth, plundering it. It survived 8 international plunderings. So when Nebuchadnezzar walked into it after 400 years of plundering, he took so much with him that Ezra came back with a fortune. How much wealth was in that place? And it was that point in time when the plundering started that all the wealth and all the control shifted to natural Tyre. And not only was it a natural place, but it was a spiritual center. And at that point, the devil set up what is now known to be spiritual Tyre. And he set up the control of monetary wealth across the nation. And for 3,000 years, it's been untapped. But no man has tapped it in 3,000 years. Until the day we live in. If I seem a little stirred up, I am. I'm about mad. Ezekiel 28. We're moving right along. Maybe we'll get through this tonight. Now, Tyre shall be revealed. Now, that one in Isaiah chapter 23, when he said after 70 years she should be revived again. Now, we shall see Tyre revealed. And none other is the king of Tyre, is the devil himself, standing in the self-exalted position of control of the wealth of the nation. Isaiah, Ezekiel 28 and 11. And the word of the Lord came unto me, son of man, take up a lament concerning king of Tyre, and say to him, this is what the sovereign Lord says. You were the model of perfection, Satan, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you. Ruby, topaz, emerald, chrysolite, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald. Your settings and mountings were made of gold. On the day you were created, they were prepared. You were anointed as the guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. This is all before man came on the earth, so I want you to see something here. Trafficking was not invented by man. This happened a long time before man came in the earth. Through your widespread trade, and you were filled with violence, and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God, and I expelled you, O guardian cherub. He was expelled long before man ever walked the face of the earth. For the multitude of his merchandising, he was cast down. Your heart became proud on the account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth and made a spectacle of you before kings. By your many sins and dishonest trade, you have desecrated your sanctuaries. So I made a fire come out of you and consumed you, and I reduced you to the ashes on the ground in the sight of all who were watching. All the nations who knew you were appalled at you. You have come to a horrible end, and you will be no more. This, my friend, was the, and still is, the king of Tyre. It's at this point he began arranging the satanic government, a highly regimented, highly militaristic government of monetary control. If you don't think he is controlling it, just look around who's got the wealth and who doesn't. You see very many of your friends walking around with multiple millions of dollars. When they get saved, they usually lose it all. All those millionaires get saved, they usually, God just took their wealth to teach them. I don't think so. See, the devil is a lot smarter. He knows the power that's in money. He can control the educational systems. He can control the indoctrinations of entire nations through wealth. He can control mass media with wealth. Wealth controls. The gospel goes out because of wealth. There's nothing you can do without money in the earth. You gotta eat. You gotta drive. Everything in this building takes money. That's why he set up that highly regimented. Would you like to take a look at it? Yeah. Well, since you would, let's go ahead. Ephesians 6 and 12. Ephesians 6 and 12. Here Paul gives an outline of this satanic, militaristic, highly regimented government. And you think I'm giving him glory. I'm not. I'm just showing you what's going on in the earth so you'll know what you're up against in the next days to come. Because God said, I've made a show of them openly, spoiling principalities and powers. He's already broke their power 2,000 years ago. He's waiting for somebody to wake up and take control of the nation. Hallelujah. My friend, the reason you don't, because of the evils that come with wealth. And God's not going to stick no baby on front line. And I'll tell you how just God is, and you may not like it, but this is the way He is. He'll let 1 million people go to hell to save you. If God could put $1 million or $10 million in your hands and send it over into India, it would equate immediately to 1 million souls. But God's not going to stick that kind of money in your hand if it's going to destroy you in the process. He won't do it. He simply will not. He is not going to sacrifice one believer for the sake of 1 million. He just doesn't operate that way. You better thank God. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world system, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now there is a lot into what I'm about to show you here, but I'm going to give you a brief rundown of these classes of spirits that he just operated, their functions in the world, and what they do. This is a description of the highly regimented, militaristic government of Satan. Each individual ruling class of spirit operates and functions in a realm of authority, implementing the strategies of Satan for the neutralization of Christianity. We'll start with the principalities. The principalities are the masterminds. Let me put it this way. The principalities mastermind the control of false religion, education, government policies, international finance, and the establishing of what's called the New World Order. They are the masterminds over. They're the ones that stand over nations. Have you ever wondered why all the Western mind think and operate the same way? Why does all the Chinese in the Orient, they all think and operate the same way? All the Russian, the Europeans, because of the principalities that stand over these regions, governing the educational processes, governing the indoctrination of that entire nation, they are in charge of establishing the false religions of those countries. They are in charge of masterminding the neutralization of Christianity in their country. They do it from an international scale. They stand over nations. You'll very rarely come in contact with one of those unless you become so highly unmanageable by the devil like the Apostle Paul that had to have a spirit, a class of spirit that was designed to control an entire nation. Paul was so unmanageable that he had to have one assigned to him.
Glory!
Because he could not be managed. Or stopped for that matter. He made it through. Well, the first order of the principality is to establish the indoctrination of false religion, philosophies, educational systems, mass media, the nations. Their span of influence includes pagan and occultic religion, New Age movements, Buddhism, Islam, secular humanism, materialism, evolution, atheism, communism, socialism, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, Hinduism, and the etc. They establish these religions across the board. That's what they do. Now just bear with me here. We're going to get into Tyre. They mastermind and plan the control and neutralization of Christianity. Much of this action is brought about at a government level. This is why many countries will not allow you even to preach within their country. They specialize in the removing of religious liberty through organizations such as the ACLU and Planned Parenthood. They're behind the activation of abortion and pro-choice, gay and lesbian rights, women's liberation, desensitizing of sin through talk shows and mass media, and the overblown psychic phenomena. They are the ones that induce this into the nations. This is part about Tyre. They organize and establish the control of wealth at an international level through the international banking cartel, central banks, trade markets, international monetary fund, and world banks and the United Nations. The Lord showed me all this simultaneously. He showed me this entire network, how it worked and how it was controlled and how it was so rigidly controlled down to the individual believer. Communism and socialism are excellent examples of their devious inventions. All things common reduces their efforts in controlling the disbursement of international finance. The majority of the wealth of this system is controlled by a handful of men. They create systems of debt, taxation, inflation, and poverty for purposes of control. They control at an international level. That's what they do. They master plan these things. The international banking cartel, like your little Federal Reserve Board. My friend, the government doesn't own the Federal Reserve. It's owned by a handful of bankers, international financiers that print billions of dollars at will just because they want to and charge you interest on it. They print money out of nothing. In fact, you really want to know the truth. They make a debt. All money that's printed within the United States, there has to be a debt created for that money to be printed. The government creates the debt, then they start printing the money, and then the loan starts happening. And the pyramid of loans start taking place. Every debt in the United States was paid, cash would cease to exist. There would not be $100 bill in circulation if every debt in America was paid. The whole country operates off debt. Because it's been established for the neutralization of the national sovereignty of the United States. They want to destroy her by breaking her so she can merge into a one-world government because she's too strong. You see, God's not allowing that to happen. But they got men working around the clock with organizations such as the Trilateral Commission. They got organizations like the Bilderberger Group, the international multinational corporations, and things of that nature. But I don't want to get too far into that because I don't want to throw you off here. Stay on course. Next ruling class of powers. Principalities and powers. This ruling class of spirit supplies the supernatural power of occult, New Age, Eastern religions, witch doctors, psychics, and Satanism. Although limited in their power, they do possess demonic power to heal, soothsay, body levitation, astral projection, sickness and disease, poverty, and etc. We see this in Pharaoh's musicians turning their staffs into snakes. Through their enchantments, they turn rivers into blood and they bring forth frogs into the land. They have the power to do these things. We see their activity in the psychic phenomena, the psychic networks, black witchcraft, the etc. They supply the power of darkness. I'm just running down it. They also are responsible for the disbursement of power to obtain wealth in individuals. See all the kings in the world. All the kingdoms of the world. And the glory of them. What do you think the glory of them was? The wealth. The wealth and the kings of the world. He took them to a throne and showed it to them. And he says, all of this I'll give you. Jesus said, son, you're standing in a self-exalted situation. Well, I'm about to bear the poverty of the nations. And when I do, I'm going to release the power back in the hands of my people. And that self-exalted situation you're in is going to come down. But when he took him to that mountain, he took another man there. His name is Brother Dinakaran. He's a preacher in India. He was a banker. The Lord called him to preach, and he got up. India, and he saw the incredible need of India and drove him to his knees. He said, God, you got an answer for this? He wore out the ligaments in his knees. He wore out the tendons.
couldn't even walk. He sat in such a prostrated position with God until God would talk to him. Jesus came to him. The person started mentoring him. One visitation after another, showing him how to win the nation. He now preaches to 1 billion people a week by radio. Yeah. Got that problem. Well, the devil came to him. And he said he looked like Jesus from a distance when he walked up to him, but he knew it was the devil. He came as the angel of light. And he said, Mr. Denikarian, he goes, I want to take you. I want to show you something. Come with me, sir. He's very polite. And he took him to this place. And he said there was a huge throne there. And he was standing on a throne. And there was principalities parading around that throne like they were cherubs. See, he was counterfeiting God's throne. He counterfeited the whole thing. He says, Brother Denikarian, I'll give you a hemisphere of wealth and a people that will serve you if you'll serve me. He wouldn't even answer him. Wouldn't even open his mouth and answer him. Had to take him back. Yeah, he'll offer you. He can't get you with afflictions. Remember the parable of the sower? Afflictions and persecutions arise for the word's sake. If he can't get you with poverty, lack, and debt, he'll switch his operation. Start working on you. Cares of this life, deceitfulness of riches, and lust of other things. You make it past that other, you got a whole other realm to deal with. Rules of darkness. This ruling class of spirit carry out and enforce the master plan of the principalities in our regional bases. Their regions would include cities, states, communities, super churches that are unmanageable, and global ministries. They are positioned within their territory to maintain the present level of darkness. Many carry with them a certain order of darkness, such as homosexuality in San Francisco, gambling in Las Vegas, prostitution in Acapulco, drug abuse in Holland, and etc. They carry out the monetary control on a regional basis, and many of them stand over certain international banks for purposes of control and influence of wealth distribution. If I had the time, I'd go into a little bit of how we loan money to international dictators, knowing full well that they're not going to pay you back. They don't really care. They loan $500, $600, $700 million at a time. These international banks step in and tell Congress, for the good of the global community, we need to loan these people this money. And they said they have a history of the last 5 loans that they haven't paid back. He said, yes, but if we don't loan them the money, they can't make their payments on the last 5, and it will break our national banks, and you don't want an international scare across this country. We want you to back up the debt if they don't pay it back. So they go in and back up the debt. Who pays for it? You do. You pay for it. And the devil, all the while, standing in a self-exalted position, it's funneling that money into regions of darkness to enforce wars and the annihilation of people and the starvation of people. They starve nations purposely so all the other nations will step in and start loaning them millions of dollars. They'll starve their own people to get loans of billions of dollars. Yeah, this is how this is dispersed. They want a one world government like this. Thank God we live in a country. God's not going to let go, but he's sending revival in because he's about to transfer it all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I go on? Okay. If you got to go, just go. We'll get the tape. This is the spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. This is the lowest class of spirit that exists. Heavenly places actually means below mountaintop air that you breathe. You and I come in contact with this class of spirit on our daily routine. It's very rare that the average Christian will come in contact with any other class of spirit except this one, except for men such as the Apostle Paul. There was a ruling class of spirit that was so designed to control a nation assigned to him simply because the Apostle Paul was highly unmanageable. This was his thorn in the flesh. However, for the most part, this level of spirit that consists of lust, anger, strife, pornography, hatred, unforgiveness, envy, jealousy, homosexuality, perversion, drug abuse, substance abuse, depression, fear, worry, anxiety, lying, adultery are common to this class. But this is where he controls most of the Christians, right here. This is where the persecution and affliction starts, when the operation of the word is sown into your heart. Poverty, debt, and lack are the most common methods of control proceeding from this class of spirit. They attempt to bind Christians' thought processes so they will never advance into the abundance God has made provision for. Why they do this will be discussed later. However, to the Christians that do advance into an abundant life, they offer another scheme to control their money. The lust of other things, the deceitfulness of riches, are designed to stop the flow of any of that wealth into the gospel of the Lord Jesus. They will either suppress you or they will fill you with a materialism, pride and lust and deception to block your wealth from ever being used into the kingdom of God. He has many operations, but I got news for you. We got a person called wisdom that can see him coming from a mile away. And when he's lying at wait at every corner, she's a mile ahead of him. Isn't that wonderful? That's what we'll get in tomorrow night. Solomon's wisdom. Found that person. How'd you like to find me? She's available to those who find me. Oh my God. She walked in my room 2 years ago. The Lord said, I want to introduce you to the person of wisdom. And before you think I'm a heretic, just come tomorrow night and we'll reveal her. If you have any questions after that, she's good. You might find that she's the healer. You can be the body of Christ, the Son of God, and the bride of Christ all at one time. We'll save that for tomorrow night. Although this highly regimented government exists, they must establish their ploys and plans through men of corruption, greed, covetousness. The promise these men great power and influence of wealth to return for their service to their agenda. I'm not going to go into all that part because we simply don't have the time. All right, this is the best part. Ezekiel 27. We're almost through. Give me about 5 more preacher minutes. Anybody getting anything out of this?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Born in the fire. Okay, you think your life's not going anywhere? And you got all the fire raging. I found one thing. You will grow and mature more in the fire. And I tell you, God came to me one day and he said, son, I was complaining about my sufferings and I was suffering. I was suffering. This lady come to me one time. I was about 2 weeks old in the Lord, and she took me to church, and she had this cardboard window enclosed in her car. She goes, LaRue, I want you to know something, brother. You're going to make it for God. You're going to have to suffer for the Lord. Oh, my God. Thank God I was under John Osteen. I get the service, and he's telling me what, God wants to bless you, brother. I said, yes, preach on. Ezekiel 27, 26 through 33. Now this is talking about the natural men that are governed by this satanic government and how they're moving this big beast or this Isaiah. Ezekiel 27 speaks of it as the big ship of conglomeration of all nations, trading and commercing and committing fornication with all the nations of the world. And they're sailing out the high seas. And they've got mariners and they've got pilots and they've got caulkers. When things or problems exist, they raise up an international organization to fix it. They got the visionaries, the Illuminati, you might want to call them, that they are visioning the world global order. They got an agenda. They know where they're going, but God has an agenda. Before it happens, it will happen, by the way. They are going to get their one world order, but not until we get ours. Ezekiel 27 and 26. Thy rowers have brought thee into great waters. The east wind hath broken thee in the midst of the seas. Thy riches and thy fares and thy merchandise and thy mariners and thy pilots and thy caulkers and the occupiers of thy merchandise and all thy men of war that are in thee and all thy company which is in the midst of thee shall fall in the midst of the seas in the day of thy ruin. Thy suburbs shall shake at the sound of the cry of thy pilots, and all that handle the oar, the mariners, and all the pilots of the sea shall come down from their ships. They shall stand upon the land. They shall cause their voice to be heard against thee, and shall cry bitterly, and shall cast up dust upon their heads. They shall make themselves utterly bald for thee, and gird them with sackcloth. They shall weep for thee with bitterness of heart and bitter wailing. And in their wailing they shall take a lamentation for thee, and lament over thee, saying, what city was like our Tyre? What vision was like our vision? And when thy wares went forth to the seas, thou fillest many people. Thou didst enrich the kings of the earth with the multitude of thy riches and thy merchandising. Haggai chapter 2. Two more scriptures. God, this is a good part. Don't leave me now. Haggai is in the Old Testament, back there with the prophets. I know I'm preaching long tonight, but I don't have enough to preach on tomorrow night, so you just have to bear with me and let me get through this. But tomorrow night we'll be getting dismissing too early, and I don't want to have that problem. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Haggai chapter 2 and 6. Ooh, God, this is good. I'm telling you. Are y'all ready for this? For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the treasure of all nations shall come into my house, and I will fill this house with glory. This is a prophecy against Tyre. He's going to shake the whole thing down. All of it's coming down. The silver is mine and the gold is mine. It's always been God's. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. In this place I will give prosperity. He's speaking of a day where he was going to shake down the financial system of Tyre. He was going to shake that thing down in his whole government. And when it did, he claimed the silver is mine and the gold is mine. And the glory of this house that's coming right now that we're in will be greater than Solomon's day. Are you kidding? Solomon, the greatest kingdom in the entire world. So much wealth flowed through that. I figured to be about $175 billion over a 20-year reign, 40-year reign. And God said, I'm going to shake it down. And the glory and the wealth of this latter-day house is going to be greater. When Solomon and David came on the scene, they caused a paradigm shift in the entire known world where kings and queens that were used to wealth and abundance would stagger at their knees at the sight of such wealth. And God said in the last days, I'll shake it again. And those that think that they have wealth, they're going to see the wealth of the nations come into the body of Christ. Oh, glory. Zechariah 9, I'm going to read it. You don't have to go over there. 3 and 4. And Tyrus did build herself a stronghold and heaped up silver as the dust and fine gold as the mire of the streets. Behold, the Lord will cast her out. He will smite her power in the sea and she shall be devoured with fire. Now, the close. Isaiah chapter 23. Are y'all about tired of flipping? Think you might want to start spending a little more time with the Holy Ghost? Yeah. After tomorrow night, you will. Because He wants to prepare you. Isaiah 23 and 14. How, you ships of Tarshish, for your strength is laid waste, and it shall come to pass in that day. We know He's talking of spiritual Tyre. The Tyre shall be forgotten 70 years, according to the days of one king. At the end of the 70 years shall Tyre sing as a harlot. Take up a harp and go about the city, thou harlot that has been forgotten. Make sweet melody, sing many songs that thou mayest be remembered. And it shall come to pass at the end of 70 years that the Lord will visit Tyre. The Lord's going to visit her at the end of 70 years. And she shall turn to her hire and commit financial intercourse or fornication with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth. Are you ready for this? Look at verse 18. And her merchandise, her profits, her gains, and her hire shall be holiness to the Lord. It shall not be treasured nor hoarded or laid up, for her merchandise shall be for them that dwell before the Lord. Yeah. This is a prophecy of wealth transference. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. He's going to shake it down and bring that wealth into the body of Christ. Never in history of 3,000 years of Tyre has this prophecy come to pass. It was waiting for the day of your and I's generation. We know we're in the season. Because James 5 said we were. He said, go to now, rich men, weep and howl for the miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted. Your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall cry out against you. Temporary operation. You never allowed your wealth to go from a temporary to an eternal place. You couldn't get the world out of your heart. So they rusted. And that rust will cry out against you. And you have heaped up treasure for the last days. Be patient, therefore, brethren, for the Lord is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth, though he receive the early and latter rain. What are they patient for? For the wealth. He said they've heaped it together for the last days. You think we're in the latter rain? We're in the beginning stages. It's coming. The years are right. Everything's set. I was standing here Sunday, and we had a pretty phenomenal service Sunday. And I was standing up at this pulpit, minding my own business, and I saw a vision that about knocked me over. I saw a river about 20 foot wide, filled with unimaginable wealth. You couldn't even put a description on it. It was gold, stacks of $100 bills, and that river was moving toward me. And I saw that river coming, and all of a sudden I saw the hand of God move right in front of it. And then I saw the person of wisdom stand right in front of that river. And she began walking. And then I saw an international view of the United States of America. And she stood right in the middle of America. And light began emanating from her and covered the entire nation with light. And when the nation was covered with light, the wealth began flowed. The hand of God lifting that wealth hit her. And would hit her, move through her. And it spread throughout the United States, and then it started spreading across the world. And the Lord said, I am bringing the wealth, and she shall be preceded by wisdom. And those that will find me, the person of wisdom, in this last hour, I will qualify them instantaneously to be distributors of God's wealth. You don't have to have the qualifications. She'll give them to you, but you're going to have to find her, and you're going to have to know something about the fear of the Lord. And we're going to get into a little bit of that tomorrow night about this person of wisdom, this relationship with her, because she can teach you. I want to give you one more scripture filling my heart, and I'm going to close like I said I was going to close. Matthew 19. Then I'm going to let you go. In verse 16, the rich young ruler. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Jesus kind of rebuked the man. He was being kind of nice, you think, you know, oh, good master. You know, this rich young ruler, he had his way just about with anybody he wanted. When you carry wealth, there's a certain dignity that comes with that, a certain empowerment of character that draws the world to you, even draws a religious order. He could buy himself on every Pharisee board across Jerusalem. He could have the uppermost seats in all the synagogues. He could get into any group he wanted to because they knew the man had the money. See? And then he approached Jesus with this flattery and he said, oh, good master. And Jesus rebuked him to the core. He said, don't call me good. Don't try that stuff on me. And he goes, I can't be bought. And he says unto him, he said, why callest me those good? There's none good but one. But if you'll keep the commandments, you'll enter into life. He said unto him, which ones, Jesus? And thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said unto him, all these things I've kept from my youth up, and what lack I yet? Jesus looked at him and said, yeah, boy. I see you. He said, you want to be perfect? You want to walk with me? Go and sell all thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And please, my friend, don't go all sell all you have. Please don't do that. Don't. If God didn't tell you to do it, don't do it. You're going to have nothing left over. God was dealing with this man. And there was a purpose for it. You got to tell people that sometime. They'll go quit their jobs when you preach a message like this and say, God's going to deliver millions of dollars to me. I'm going to sit here on my couch and watch TV and I'm waiting. That ain't going to happen. You got to let him bring it to pass.
Jesus said, that would be perfect. Go and sell all thy house and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. You know, Jesus didn't ask everybody to follow him. And God gave me a divine revelation of the scripture. He said, I intended for this man to control the wealth of the early church. My intentions for this man was to deliver enough wealth to establish my kingdom across the board in the early church. And he would have had the entire New Testament church all the way down to this generation laid on his account. If he could have laid his riches down, I would have apostled him in finance. I would have showed him how to handle money, because I'd have taken and separated him from it. And that's a whole nother message. The Lord showed me all the different root systems that money's tied to and how to get separated from him. We'll get into that one day if we can get him. And he separated. He would have separated him from that wealth and so mentored him that he would have begun controlling the finance of the early church, paying for all the missions, establishing the covenant of God. And then Jesus said it later on in the chapter. He said, if any man come to me, he said, if he forsake not all he has, he can't be my disciple. The rich man put his life first here. Will he get the glory? Yeah, he'll get the glory. You'll see. He'll be one of the saddest in heaven if you can be sad, because he's going to see his reward. Just like Adam and Eve, and they're going to, he's going to, I could have had the whole church on my account and I missed it. And I became last here in the order of heaven. But the last here on earth that sold out everything, they'll be first in heaven. If you don't think there's an order in heaven, you better think again. There is an order in heaven. And my friend, the quicker you find out that you won't start laboring for that bank account there, the Lord showed me something. I'm closing. I'm going to have to work on these closes. Praise God. He said, son, you like big bank accounts here? And I said, oh yeah, I like them. He goes, what makes you think in heaven's going to be any different? Just because you get in heaven, you don't think you're going to want a big bank account? I said, I ain't going to need money there. And he said, I'm not talking about money. He goes, but I'm talking about treasure. And when everyone gets to heaven there, everyone is going to simultaneously know what treasure is. And every one of them is going to want a bank account full of God kind of treasure. The laying of born again people up all over heaven. When you step into heaven, there's a hemisphere of people waiting for you simply because you mastered the power that's in money. He said, what makes going to make you think it's any different there? He goes, the truly wise ones will live for that place and stop living for this one. And when they can make that kind of transformation, I can transfer the wealth to them. Amen. Stand to your feet, please. Sorry I kept you so long.